From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. We have a great show for you as the Chiefs get ready for the Baltimore Ravens. We are brought to you today by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're corner stores, coffee spots, or your favorite shops. Local businesses are always on your side, on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So be there for them. Next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap the pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, an official partner of the NFL. And looking into the conversation, you're going to get inside intel on those Ravens. And we have a couple of things to talk about here at the top that will feed into that. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it, especially in these times surrounded by COVID. All right. So talking about COVID, I want to get into this real quick because this is a huge story to me. You're sitting here looking at the NFL, who has fined, I believe, four teams for their coaches not wearing masks properly. And Kansas City is not one of them. Although I do think it was interesting. I did see Clark Hunt in a box on TV not wearing his mask the entire game. So I'm surprised he didn't get any kind of fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to this. Vic Fangio was pretty straightforward about, hey, I had it on, I took it off to call plays, and I never got it back on. $100K at a coach is significant, but I think the more significant is the fact they're going after the organizations at $250K for a fine to try to provide some kind of increased oversight.
Yeah, and that's $250,000. How'd you feel if you were the organization for that after all the money you've been putting out to try to take care of COVID and even be able to play football?
Oh, man, that's a tall one. And I went over this on Locked On NFL. If you guys haven't listened to the Thursday night edition, check that out. But 36,000 tests administered this last week, the 13th through the 19th, over 7,800 times to players and team personnel. That's pretty good. Five new cases, none amongst players, I think.
Or coaches.
Right. And very important. And at this point, I think the NFL is on a roll. I think the protocols are working. And I think they're just trying to buckle down and make sure that they don't let everybody get complacent and let it slip away.
Absolutely. And you are able to see an actual season right now, which is more than most of the other, you know, sports leagues can say. So I think that they're doing a great job in that regard. They're still going to lose a ton of money because they're not having fans in the stands for most stadiums. So that's going to be something that they're going to have to address in the offseason with the new CBA. They'll have to figure that out. And shifting into a little bit of news that came out on Wednesday, talking about the Baltimore Ravens, sounds like they're going to be wearing their black uniforms for the game on Monday night.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, good for them. I like it when the Chiefs wear red on red. I'm not sure what the rules are anymore because it seems every time I think they have to do something, they do something else. So I'll just say it out the plainest I can. I want to see red on red if they're going to wear black.
I don't think they can do that because I think they have to wear their away uniforms because Baltimore, that's technically still their home uniform. The difference is, and what was really weird is last week they played in Los Angeles and they still played in their home uniforms. But that was because the Chargers were playing in their white uniforms because they were looking at it from a perspective of let's make the Chiefs sweat a little bit more and get more dehydrated, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. I just know what I want to see. So, hey, I guess I just won't get my way, right?
Nope, not this time.
And, you know, it's going to be quiet in that stadium. It's not going to be the full volume. And I think I'd like to see a moment of silence, to tell you the truth, for the Kansas Comet who passed away this week. And a sad point for me as a Jayhawk, but for a lot of people around the world, because what's unique about Gale Sayers is not only that he turned Kansas around in a program that we weren't even that successful in the 90s when I was there, but that's something you can hang your hat on. And then in Chicago, and you saw the success he had there, youngest inductee into the Hall of Fame ever. And then I think what's unique about him is that you got to see him in a bigger perspective when the story of Brian Piccolo came out and the movie was made with Billy Dee Williams. And you got to see him a little bit more as a rounded person rather than just an athlete.
Yeah, and it is truly tragic that they're losing Gale Sayers this year. You know, you start looking at some of these iconic players of the past, and you know you're going to be losing more over the next couple of seasons, and that really stinks. And Gale Sayers is one of them. And you know, I will admit, I'm not a KU football fan. Never been a KU football fan. Although I think I have been to a KU football game. But Gale Sayers, I mean, that football legend, and it stinks to lose a guy like that. And you know, you our thoughts and prayers are with his family and his friends, because it's going to be very hard to move on without him.
Yeah, he's a pillar. And for all of Jayhawk Nation, rock chalk to you, Gale Sayers. Coming up next, we're going to get into that inside intel on the flock, they call them, the Baltimore Ravens. This season, get your football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays. And you see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, the crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all in the action. All the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place where you can replay every game all season long.
You also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephen Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And welcome back to another episode, another crossover episode. This is with Locked On Ravens. Kevin, I'm going to let you go ahead and pronounce your last name and tell people how to find
it. It's Kevin Ostreicher here of Locked On Ravens. It's a long last name. I don't blame you, Chris. You can find me on Twitter at Locked On Ravens is the podcast account, and my personal account is at KaosStriker34. I also write for Ravens Wire, so if you want written content, that's where you can find me.
All right, Kevin, I really appreciate having you on here. And that kind of reminds me, you know, I thought it was Ostreicher, but I wasn't going to try to pronounce that and get it wrong. So I appreciate it. But lots going on, especially for this game. This game is going to determine who the best team in the NFL, at least so far this season, is right now.
Yeah, and I think so, too. The Chiefs have had the one up on the Ravens over the last 2 years. And obviously, with the Chiefs being the defending champions, you know, you have to give all the credit in the world to what Andy Reid has done with this team. Patrick Mahomes, a superstar, going up against Lamar Jackson, who has come into his own. And I think this Ravens team is more equipped, is better equipped to beat the Chiefs this year. But I mean, again, you can't count out this Chiefs offense. We saw what they did in the divisional round against the Texans, the comebacks they can put up. Mahomes is a magician. It's going to be a good one.
Well, it's interesting because I just saw right before we came on here, a couple of guys at Bleacher Report were talking about how many points would you need to feel comfortable of a lead at halftime on the Chiefs to feel comfortable against Patrick Mahomes going into the second half? They were both over 35. So can't say I blame them with the way things have worked out, but let's go ahead and dive into this game specifically. What have you seen that's been different from Lamar Jackson in the first two games this season compared to where he was last year when he won the MVP?
Well, you know, you look at Lamar Jackson winning the unanimous MVP last season, and you're like, well, where can he get better? And, you know, it was only his second season, much like Chiefs fans know, Mahomes won the MVP in his second year as well. So what Lamar Jackson was able to do this offseason, we didn't really hear a lot about it, but he showed in week one and week two that he has improved as a passer, and that part of his game has really evolved. He was one of the best pocket passers in the league last season. I don't think a lot of people realize that. That yes, he was an elite runner. He can run the ball with the best of them, but he is a quarterback. He passes the football at a very high rate and actually is a great guy who can both operate out of a clean pocket and when pressure is bearing down on him. Much like Mahomes in Kansas City does, Jackson gets out of the pocket, uses his legs, looks down the field, goes through his reads, and really has been able to process his reads better this year. He's also making throws to the boundary better. He's throwing the deep ball better. Baltimore's receivers have also stepped up for him with Marquise Brown, who was only playing at about 70% last season. He had a screw in his foot. Miles Boykin is expected to make a second-year leap and has done so far. You have Devin Duvernay and James Prochet, the rookies, Willie Snead. Jackson is somebody who improved his game for another offseason. You know, the whole coronavirus pandemic kind of made it a little more difficult than anticipated for everybody. But Jackson has shown that he is a dual-threat quarterback, one of the best in the league, and he is only improving from here, and he's backed that up in week one and week two.
Well, and it's funny because you don't even mention Mark Andrews as a pass catcher, and he's going to be somebody that I think Kansas City fans are going to have to worry about on Monday night. But you start looking at this Ravens offense, and I'm not trying to say anything against Lamar Jackson, so please don't take it that way. But he was running focused at least his first part of the time in the league. Last year, he changed a little bit, became more of a passing threat. This year, obviously, he's taken another step forward. But you look at the Ravens, and they still have a very potent running game. Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, they have, you know, a rookie that is, I think, going to be a very good player for them. And you still have Lamar Jackson, who is a threat to run the ball. Is that really, you think, what the Ravens' bread and butter is going to be, or do you think they're going to be more of a passing team?
I think they are going to be more of a passing team, but the run game is still going to be the focal point of that offense, definitely. The Ravens, you mentioned, they have running backs. They have a plethora of them who can really go out there and do damage. An example I'll put out there is actually from last week against Houston, where Gus Edwards had 10 carries, Mark Ingram had 9, and J.K. Dobbins had 2 carries. The Ravens actually didn't attempt a pass over the final 12 minutes of the Texans game. They ran out the clock, they held the football, and I think that's a key for them against the Chiefs in this potent Kansas City offense. If you limit Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City offense's opportunities for them to score, you don't have to worry about the comebacks as much because they literally just do not have the possessions to do it if you're putting up points. The Ravens in the fourth quarter just dominated the run game against Houston. And part of that was the fact that they had a fresh J.K. Dobbins on the sidelines who next week against, let's say, you know, this week, J.K. Dobbins gets 5 carries against the Redskins next week, against Washington, excuse me, next week. He could get, you know, 10 carries, 15 carries. Baltimore's running back rotation is very, very different from a lot of teams around the league. In the fourth quarter against Houston, J.K. Dobbins came in with fresh legs against this tired Houston defense and absolutely dominated. So the Ravens, yes, they are going to pass the football more this season. There's no question about it. And they've shown that Lamar Jackson is going to use his ability as a passer because he has it more this season. But Baltimore's bread and butter is still going to be the run game. That's going to be the focal point of their offense again in 2020.
When you look at what they're able to do, if they get up early and they're able to run the ball as well as they did this past week, and really they have consistently for a couple of years, it's going to be very hard to beat them. You cannot get down and then try to stop the run because your defense is going to be tired. It's just going to compound in the fourth quarter. So I really do think that that's a smart play by the Ravens, especially with the players they have on their team and the running backs that they have. When you flip it over to the other side and you start looking at their defense, how are you feeling about that defense going up against this Chiefs offense?
You know, I don't know how good you can feel against Patrick Mahomes and this Kansas City offense. And, you know, as part of it for me is actually a loss that the Ravens sustained against the Houston Texans, and that is the loss of Tavon Young, the slot cornerback who was lost for the season in the preseason in 2019, didn't play the whole year, comes back, works really hard, gets healthy, and ultimately against Houston tears his ACL in the horrible week that we had in week 2 with injuries and is done for the year. And with the Chiefs, I think they can utilize that by putting speedsters in the slot. I saw them utilize a lot of different guys in the slot last week, Tyreek Hill being one of them. The Ravens, you know, they were fortunate last season because the Chiefs did not have Tyreek Hill for the week 3 matchup. He's back and he's a threat. So what the Ravens need to do in order to, you know, really suppress Patrick Mahomes as best they can is just put pressure on him. They can hit him. That worked to an extent in 2018. Obviously, Mahomes is a much better player than he was in 2018. But I think Baltimore's best bet is to get pressure on him, force him outside of the pocket. And that's not to say Mahomes can't throw outside of the pocket. He's still a dead-eye passer outside the pocket. But Baltimore's best bet is just getting pressure. Don't let him sit in the pocket and make him a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to be something that you're going to want to do against Patrick Mahomes. When you start looking at the corners that Baltimore has, obviously you have old friend in Marcus Peters in Baltimore now. How are you feeling about him going up against this Kansas City Chiefs team? I know it's happened the past couple of seasons, but again, this year and going up against, you know, speedy receivers and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins possibly and Mecole Hardman as well.
Yeah, I think Marcus Peters is a huge addition. Again, was not in the week 3 matchup in 2019. I think it's really important for these cornerbacks and especially Marcus Peters. Chris, as you know, he's somebody who takes risks and these risks can be things that, you know, sometimes pay off and they sometimes don't. You take the good with the bad with Marcus Peters, and against the Texans, boy, did he have a good play where he read, he was in his zone, and the Ravens like to go out and make Marcus Peters assignments, things where he can take those risks without them being absolutely deadly on any given play. So what they can do is Marcus Peters was supposed to be covering a guy who ran about a 2-yard route, saw that a route was developing over the back half of the left part of the field, came back and just made a web gem, you know, kind of like an outfielder diving catch against Deshaun Watson. Against Mahomes, I think you kind of have to bait him into a few throws, and Mahomes is a very smart football player. But I think if you can deceive Mahomes with Marcus Peters, you can put him in situations where you might not be expecting to see Marcus Peters. You always have to be on the lookout. You know, where is Marcus Peters at this particular moment? I think, you know, Chiefs faithful know that very well from his time in Kansas City. He's somebody who can, you know, literally change the flow of a game with one single play. So if Marcus Peters can get his hands on the football, can force a turnover against Patrick Mahomes, I think it's going to be really important for Baltimore to utilize Peters in a way that can maybe throw Mahomes off kilter a little bit.
Yeah, he's definitely a player that you always have to know where he is on the field, because he can be a big difference maker with the way he likes to get after it. And as you said, take a couple of chances and try to get a couple of picks. So that is going to be a big key, I think, for the game on Monday night. When we get back, we're going to flip positions, and Kevin's going to ask me some questions about these Chiefs.
Invest in your intuition. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play at MyBookie, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
And we are back with another segment of our crossover between Locked On Ravens and Locked On Chiefs. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs. And Chris, now with me asking you questions about these Chiefs, obviously the defending champs. And I first want to start off with actually last week's game against the Chargers. It was a nail biter, and Harrison Butker, I mean, what a sequence. What a sequence.
Oh, please, can we not? I really don't want to talk about that.
We will not get into the kicker kind of debate that's been going on, but it seems everybody wants to know what the blueprint was that the Chargers utilized to slow down Mahomes in the offense. Obviously, they still came out with a win, but a little bit of a subpar performance by an offense that is usually high scoring. So, Chris, what was the blueprint the Chargers used, and how do you see that maybe translating over to what the Ravens can do to slow down the offense?
You know, I think what you're looking at is the Chargers have always played the Chiefs very tough. This is actually one of Patrick Mahomes' best games against the Chargers. I don't think he had thrown for over 250 yards in the previous four games against the Chargers that he's played. So he actually threw for more yardage, which, you know, took overtime to get there. But you look at what they're able to do. They're able to put pressure on him and drop a lot into coverage. And that's really what I think is one of the keys there, is if you can rush for and get pressure, then I think you're going to be in a good position. The problem is most of the NFL doesn't have players like Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa in San Francisco. So those types of players are going to give the Chiefs tackles fits, and that it really happened. They also added some pass rush with Jerry Tillery, and I think that really affected things. So you're looking at three guys that could really get after the quarterback in Los Angeles, in Bosa, Ingram, and Tillery. And then you have to wonder about, are they going to be sending blitzes? Because at times they were sending blitzes, and I think those were effective as well, just to get Mahomes off his mark a little bit. But, you know, as we saw at the end of the game, Mahomes figured it out in the fourth quarter and in overtime, and was able to move the ball enough to get them in position to give Butker a chance to win the game for him from 58. And you're right, there's a lot of people talking about who the best kicker in the NFL is right now, and I'm sure we both have a different opinion.
Yeah, and you know, we're not going to get into that here, but of course, you know, that sequence was amazing by Butker. But I think if Baltimore, again, we talked about it in the last segment, just put pressure on Mahomes. But you're right, it's hard for the Ravens, and I think it will be hard for the Ravens to rush for and experience the same success that the Chargers did. I think they just have a phenomenal front four, and the Ravens, unfortunately, just aren't up to par. But they did improve with Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe along that front. But Chris, I next want to ask you about someone who has come in and has made an immediate impact in the running game, rookie Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the last pick in the first round. Somebody who, you know, there was a debate. Would the top rookie running back off the board be DeAndre Swift? Would it be J.K. Dobbins? Would it be Jonathan Taylor? Ultimately, it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he has proven that he was the guy. He was supposed to be the guy, and I think that he is going to be dominant for a very long time. But what have you seen out of him so far that's impressed you?
You know, honestly, it's his vision. It's his ability to bounce different places on the field. His long touchdown run against the Texans, I think, was phenomenal. He just juked, I believe it was a safety out of his shorts, and it was awesome to see. But I think what the best part of his game that we haven't really even seen, he didn't get a catch in week one. He was targeted twice, didn't get a catch. Week two, he got a couple of catches, but nothing that was very spectacular. but he did show, while getting hit from behind, his ability to hold onto the ball and really get them close to being able to get to a first down on a key third down play. I think what you're going to see from him in the near future is Andy Reid's going to start using him in the passing game a little bit more. But I think that the other part of that is a question of, do they feel comfortable with him picking up blitzers if they're keeping him back there with Patrick Mahomes? That is one going to be a big thing always in Andy Reid offense, is if you're out there as a running back and it's going to be a pass play, you have to be able to pass block. And I think that that's something that they maybe not feel very comfortable with him doing right now. But you still see he has the ability and he has the vision to be able to hit the holes. And he has the patience, which is even more impressive to me, to be able to wait for blockers to get in the right position so he can get through the line and get where he wants to go.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with what he's been able to do. And it's the same thing with Baltimore. We saw J.K. Dobbins last week against Houston coming in on third down and actually missing a pass block assignment. And that's something he's going to have to learn if he wants to be in there on those passing situations, because he is a threat as a receiver. But, you know, with these rookies, with the shortened offseason, no preseason, it's just a learning experience. But I've been impressed with what Clyde Edwards there has been able to do in his actions so far in the NFL. But moving on, Chris, I want to talk about somebody who's been, I guess, a bit of an unsung hero for this Chiefs defense, and that is Lajarius Sneed. He's somebody who has come in, you know, top cover man Bashaud Breeland is suspended right now. He will miss this game. You've seen Javarius Ward, who's been a little bit banged up. Who knows if he'll be able to play? I don't know how serious that injury actually is. But Sneed has been somebody, two interceptions, has 9 total tackles, and has been very sound in coverage, at least from what I have seen. How has he been able to make an impact on the Chiefs defense?
His impact's been huge. I can't even begin to really get into that, how huge it's been for Kansas City, because you look at the cornerback room for Kansas City. You're right, Bashaud Breeland's out. Javarius Ward broke his hand, and it didn't surprise me that he didn't play against the Chargers. I didn't think that the game would be that close, so I thought that it made sense to let him sit and try to get him healthier for this game against the Baltimore Ravens, because I do think that he will play this week. I think they're going to tape it up, put a cast on, and he'll play with it the way it is. But I think that what you look at with Sneed is they actually had him travel some this past game. They put him on Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen had 10 targets, caught 5 of them. He was targeted 10 times. The ball was catchable 5 times, I believe, and he caught the ball 4 times. So when you're looking at that, an 80% catch rate, that's not great. But at the same time, you're having a corner that traveled. Marcus Peters never traveled in Kansas City. That's rarefied air in Kansas City. And obviously, Marcus Peters had Bob Sutton as his D coordinator. Steve Spagnuolo does things a lot differently. But I think what you're seeing from Sneed is he is a lot better than people were giving him credit for, and probably should have gone higher in the draft. I'm very thankful he's in Kansas City and they're able to use him for what they're able to get what they're getting out of him right now, especially when you look at, like you said, those top two corners being out. I think that's going to pay a lot of dividends down the road.
Yeah, and definitely someone that, you know, you want to have for the Ravens, because with Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin and, you know, I guess Mark Andrews as well, although who knows if Sneed'll be matched up with him at all. I think that the Chiefs, yes, if Ward can play, that's a big boost. But Sneed has been somebody who has definitely been an unsung hero of that Chiefs defense so far. But Chris, finally, I want to talk about some final score predictions with you and ultimately how you think this game is going to end up going. Obviously, Baltimore wants to win this one really badly. The last two times have been an Arrowhead, both losses. I mean, who knows how much home field advantage matters now, but the Chiefs are still traveling to Baltimore. How do you think this one ends up going? What?
And I'm glad you said that, because I think that's one of the things that you really have to wonder is home field advantage really home field advantage when no fans are there? It almost feels more like a neutral field. I mean, yeah, the Ravens players are going to know the field a little bit better, but I don't think that's as big as an advantage as when you have the crowd. So to me, I think it becomes more of a neutral field. You know, you look at this game and you look at what Kansas City is, how Kansas City's played Baltimore the past couple of seasons. To me, and honestly, the way they played against the Chargers, I do think that the Chargers defense stacks up good against them. I do think that, you know, one thing I did mention earlier that I meant to was I think the Chargers have fantastic corners, and I think that really slowed them down as well, because wide receivers didn't get really involved in the game until the second half, and you can't have that in this offense. You have to be able to get the wide receivers the ball. It'll open up everything underneath for Travis Kelce and for the running game as well. But when you look at this game and you look at the Baltimore Ravens and the way they've been playing the first 2 weeks compared to how Kansas City looked last week, I'm having a hard time thinking Kansas City comes out of Baltimore with a win. Honestly, this is a game that I picked a long time ago when the schedule first came out as a loss for Kansas City. And, you know, I understand it's Patrick Mahomes and he's the, you know, Super Bowl winning MVP and whatnot, and they're Super Bowl champions. But, you know, you look at some of the injuries they've had and you know, big question marks in the secondary and whether or not they can stop the run, which is, I think, going to be pivotal in this game. I have to give it to the Ravens. I'm going to go Ravens 35, Kansas City 28.
Yeah, and I think also I agree with you, Chris, at the fact that who knows how much M&T Bank Stadium is going to matter at this point. But when I look at this game, Ravens faithful and the Ravens organization had two games circled on their calendar, I'm sure. It was the Kansas City game in week 3 and the Tennessee Titans in week 11. We're now here at a game where so early in the season, it could be a season-defining win or a season-defining loss. And I think that the way that Baltimore has played the Chiefs, it's been encouraging, not so much the first three quarters of 2019, but other than that. So you look at it, I think Baltimore does come out with a win. I think they're, again, much more equipped on defense. You know, I watched some tape from 2019. They had guys like Maurice Kennedy out there, Tim Williams, Patrick Owusu, Kenny Young. This is a new defense. This is a defense that I think stacks up better than what they had in 2019 and 2018. But it's going to be high scoring. The number one thing for Baltimore on the defensive side of the ball, put pressure on Mahomes and stop Travis Kelce. Baltimore has been horrendous at covering tight ends this season. And it's been a trend for the last few years. So if Baltimore can stop that, I do think they will come out with a win. I'll say by the score of 38-35.
Well, that's it for us today. Thank you very much, Kevin, for coming on. Really do appreciate it. And we will be back with you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.